Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for the 13th of July, 2022. I am joined by Harry.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the fact that there's another 1,000 grooming victims, because today I'm getting Y in Britain, so that's a normal thing now. Sanitizing Uvalde and Anne Frank's white privilege. Sure. So it's going to be a real Depresso Espresso podcast.
Sadly, yes. This will be a bit of a black pill. I am on the podcast tomorrow and there might be a white pill on there, so stay tuned for that. But today, sadly, you might want the handkerchiefs ready.
Anyway, let's start off with the sad. So, news broke today that there's been another 1,000 grooming victims in the UK. Specifically just in Telford. Not the whole country. That would be absurd to be that low. No, this is one town in which this is the case, apparently. And I thought we'd go through the inquiry that's been released into all this, because what the hell? This is the state of where we live. Every single town and city apparently is another grand worth of people whose lives have been ruined by the police just not doing their jobs. But we'd start off, of course, I've got to promote something, so I'll promote Douglas Murray's The War on the West, because of course that's very pertinent to this. The fact that, The War on the West so often comes from those who manage it, not from outside, which is something to dearly keep in mind as we go
it's
forward.
It's the war within the West.
Yeah. So if you go to the next link here, you may remember this story a couple of years ago, in which the Mirror ran with this headline, Britain's worst ever child grooming scandal exposed, hundreds of young girls raped, beaten, sold for sex, and some even killed. You know, normal headline. Just another one. Why not?
It's just a typical British headline right here.
It was speculated at the time, up to 1,000 children could have suffered Britain's worst known abuse scandal, where sex gangs targeted girls as young as 11. Girls as young as 11 have been lured from their families to be drugged, beaten, and raped in an epidemic that victims say is still going on. Three people were murdered, and two others died in tragedies linked to the scandal. Perfectly normal things. And we covered this at the time, of course. I remember, I think it was Carl making a video about it back in the day. And then we've covered since, obviously, the developments in Telford. You can see in the first one there, just being the Robinson demonstrations that were going on. As you can see, he was showing his documentaries to get those statements from the witnesses in the public eye. And then the next one here, being the fact that we covered recently, another lady who went on GB News, and she spoke about that this happened, and the police turned up and intimidated her because she spoke on GB News. I mean,
yes,
it was that.
Because
pathetic.
The police aren't there to protect you at the end of the day, sadly.
And we mentioned in there, this was leading up to an inquiry being released, and the inquiry has been released, and that's where we get this news from. So if you go to the next link here, it's a four-volume inquiry with like hundreds and hundreds of pages, so I haven't had a chance to read very much of it, frankly, in this morning whilst bringing all this all together. So we're going to have to rely a lot on the media headlines, although I did go through and check the most significant aspect of this, which is the political aspect.
Even just looking at it for like half an hour, you were uncovering some pretty disturbing stuff.
We shall read as well. So if you want to just scroll down, Michael, just to show people, it's just the links in case they want to go and read it themselves. And please do, and if you find anything, put it on Twitter and let us know as well. Hand on getter, of course. If you go to the next one, we can see the Metro headline here. So I decided to pick the Metro, most notably because ludicrous world we're sitting, in which we have the racial pride flag at the top there. Metro 50, news, but not you know it. I mean, it looks like some kind of pirating outlet. And yet, the real news, the actual thing that bothers the UK, is not whether or not gay people are about to be put into camps, because it's not happening. Instead, we have a situation which, as the headline reads, over 1,000 children abused in towns where police were scared of racial tensions.
I would honestly wonder how publications like the Metro and such can report on such things while still flying the flag that's supposedly representing the people who did this, but cognitive dissonance seems to be somewhat prevailing in society today, so.
Well, it does 100% stand for the people who did this, because it stands for political correctness within the intersectional orthodoxy, and that is 100% what caused this. The scared of racial tensions is because they were scared of being called racist, as with every other case we cover, but it's the same story every time. The inquiry concluded today that more than 1,000 children were abused in Telford amid shocking police and council failings as authorities turned a blind eye. Findings published today said that unnecessary suffering and even deaths of children might have been avoided had West Mercia Police done the most basic job, that's a quote, in acting on reports of such crime. Now, the report has confirmed that child sexual exploitation thrived in the large Shropshire town for decades and went unchecked because of failures to investigate offenders and protect children. The inquiry chairman, Tom Crowther, QC, said, quote, "The overwhelming theme of the evidence has been the appalling suffering of generations of children caused by the utter cruelty of those who committed child sexual exploitation. Victims and survivors repeatedly told the inquiry how, when they were children, adult men worked to gain their trust before ruthlessly betraying that trust, threatening them as sorry, treating them as sexual objects or commodities. Countless children were sexually assaulted and raped. They were deliberately humiliated and degraded. They were shared and trafficked. They were subjected to violence and their families were threatened. They lived in fear and their lives were forever changed. There you have it. 1,000 people. 1,000 people and their families being threatened and them being raped and turned into sex slaves. By who?
And it says the appalling suffering of generations of children. That's just how long that this has been going on for. How, honestly, how can we as a nation that upholds certain principles, that prides itself on doing the right thing, on being morally upright, on being proper in this way, how can we stand by and let this happen? How can we hang our heads high when we know that this is going on?
No,
it disgusts
me. The West isn't really worth defending if this is what the West is at this point. And I've seen people saying that, and I think, well, they're probably right in this case, aren't they? He said agencies, including the council and West Mercia Police, were, quote, aware of it in detail, adding, quote, failure by agencies to investigate emboldened offenders, failures to safeguard put children at risk. So far, both the council and West Mercia Police were concerned. A number of features appeared to have contributed to this shocking failure to address child sexual exploitation. A focus upon abuse within the family at the expense of the extra family exploitation, overcaution about acting in the absence of, quote, hard evidence, meaning a formal complaint from a child, which, you know.
Why would you expect the child who is in a vulnerable position being abused to be the one to come forward? Obviously, the child is not going to be the one to do that.
Hi, Mohammed, how you doing? Is that your 12-year-old girlfriend? Yeah, she hasn't complained about it, though, so.
Yep.
Let's not do nothing.
That's how we work.
And a nervousness that investigating concerns against Asian men, in particular, would inflame racial tensions. Every effing time. I mean, every goddamn time. And you might think, okay, maybe this is one of those towns of the north. If you're a foreigner, you don't know anything about Telford. That is, you know, drastically changed. Has been replaced, you might say. No. No, Telford is very small percentage Asian Muslim. Mm-hmm. It is tiny.
It's worryingly close to where I'm from in Cheshire. And it's down the road, and I remember as a child going to Telford because they had a big park there that everybody went to when you were a kid because it had like fun slides and stuff. And now this is what it's come to.
This is all it's known for now.
And the even more worrying thing is that this was going on while I was there.
Still going on as well. Just the whole time. The chairman described a culture of not investigating what was regarded as child prostitution. That's how the police treat it. Right? And said the force turned a blind eye and chose not to see what was obvious. He said an absence of police action made offenders feel they were getting away with their abuse and could continue. Of course it did. They literally weren't being arrested. Why? Well, I don't want to be a rapist. Sorry, a racist.
No, like, I mean, even...
But he's a rapist.
Even in the way they're describing it now, child prostitution is not a real thing, nope. Sadly. You're talking about people forcing children to go and get raped.
But also, I mean, I am sort of out of sympathy for any of the police officers in this situation.
Because fire them all, charge them.
If you're at that point of being like, well, I didn't want to be called a racist. And it's like, yeah, but he rapes kids. I don't care. Like, you either do it or you just... I have no sympathy.
I mean, congrats, you're not a racist, but now you're complicit in rapists. Yeah. So, you know.
He said an absence of police action had made Oh, sorry, just read all of that, which is that they thought they could get away with it, and they certainly did. And added, quote, it is impossible not to wonder how different the lives of the early 2000s victims of child sexual exploitation, and indeed many others, unknown to this inquiry, may have had in West Mercia Police done its most basic job and acted upon these reports of crime. Yeah, you ruined your entire family.
This is
fantastic.
Turns out, despite being one of the principles that many people hold nowadays, that this is where tolerance gets you.
Yeah, 100%. 7 men were jailed in 2013 following Operation Chalice, a police probe into child prostitution in the Telford area. Doesn't exist. Stop using the language. That was wrong. What is wrong with you? That's just a weird thing to say. In 2019, one of the 7 prosecuted 6 years earlier was jailed alongside 3 other men for abusing a helpless young girl who was passed around like a piece of meat, that's a quote, sold for sex and raped. The victim, just aged 13, when the abuse began in 2001, told how she was forced to perform sex acts in a churchyard, raped above a shop on a filthy mattress, and violently abused when she tried to refuse their advances. The inquiry, which has taken 3 years to conclude, looked at allegations from 1989 to the present day. Because that's how long it went on for in, you know, knowing terms. Apparently there are stuff from the 70s as well, as the author says there. They spoke to victims whose experiences date back to the 70s as well. Fantastic.
Wonderful.
Wonder how British culture just in the 70s changed. Just all of a sudden.
Mm.
This very non-British practice became a very British problem.
Wonder if we looked into encouragement of migration of anyone in the 1960s into the 1970s.
If you go to the next link, we can see just a Wikipedia article that's completely unrelated. I don't know if you can scroll down on this one, Michael, just here. I think there should be a graph just showing that box there, in which you can see the population of British Pakistanis, which, after the 1970s, kind of explodes and doubles every year and continues to do so. Nothing to do with this, I'm sure, even though they're overwhelmingly the perpetrators in all of these cases, every single time. But if you go to the next one, the community aspect, as I should politely put it, gets more clear in The Independent. This is Lizzie Dearden. She has a particular hard-on for Romlin Tomlinson. She, for some reason, is obsessed with him. Like, in 1 year, she wrote 300 articles about him.
And now she's reporting on the things that he was warning everybody about
decades
ago.
Yeah. She puts in here, Mr. Crowther said it would be, quote, wholly wrong and undoubtedly racist to equate membership of a particular racial group with the propensity to commit child sexual exploitation, and that there had been perpetrators from different races, nationalities, and backgrounds. Yeah, no S. Person from group X doesn't necessarily mean they're rapist. Yeah, I think we're not five. Everyone in the room kind of gets that. That's not the question at hand, is it? The question isn't, are all Pakistani men rapists? It's what proportion is...
It's looking at the data and going, wait a second, all of these rapists are Pakistani men. Hmm.
So is it a higher percentage among that group than other groups? That is the question being asked. And no, of course, we have to be sitting in the playpen of, don't you know that all of them aren't rapists? Like, yeah, I know. But it doesn't take all, does it, for this to be a problem? If it was only 99%, would you suddenly be like, well, it's not race-based?
Think of the 1%.
Just, I hate this discussion. Quote, however, he continues with these quotes, and they don't make it sound good. A high proportion of those cases involved perpetrators that were described by victims and survivors and others as being Asian or often Pakistani, he added. The evidence plainly shows that the majority of child sexual exploitation suspects in Telford were men of Southern Asian heritage. For Americans, for some reason, we use basically Indian as Asian in our language because of old reasons. We call the Easterners Orientals instead, but that's the way we word it, so in case you're wondering why we're saying Asian. The report said there had to be racial tensions over several issues in the local community, which police and the council did not want to escalate as well. That's from the witnesses. There's also the aspect, of course, using Asian or even any of those terms doesn't get to the nub of it because it's not Sikhs. It's not Hindus. No.
Well, it's obfuscating.
It's East and West Pakistan. So if we go to the next one as well, because you may think for a moment in which he was saying that, well, the majority of the rapists in this case in Telford are, you know, Pakistani. Yeah, the majority of the population ain't. So, I mean, that's the level of disproportionality we're looking at. I mean, you can see Michael just highlighting the graph there of the religious backgrounds of the town. Do you see Muslim on there?
Muslim barely even registers. Yeah. Is it the one of... Oh, yeah.
2.2% there. But the majority of the rapists in child exploitation in Telford are Pakistani.
That just says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah. 2,944 Muslims in Telford, as the census reports, which means if you get rid of the women, because the women don't get convicted in this, they're usually not taking part, for normal reasons you would expect, and also you get rid of the children, because, it's usually the adult men are doing this, obviously, you leave you with 1,104 men. Okay, go to the next link. This is Operation Chalice, which I mentioned got 7 people convicted. They say in here, Operation Chalice encompassed over 100 victims and around 200 suspects. 1,100 men, 200 suspects.
Jesus Christ.
And that's close to 1 in 5.
Yeah.
And then you've got to remember, this was just Operation Chalice. The entire inquiry has come out over this long period, and instead... We're looking at 1,000 victims, sorry, more than 1,000 victims. And, how many individuals do you need for that?
Well, let's just be perfectly honest and logical here. At the end of the day, when you've got so many suspects and so many victims on such a small and concentrated population, what's the likelihood that anybody in this community hadn't at least heard about it from a rumour, weren't at least aware that something weird was going on, especially when the police are coming knocking on everyone's doors?
Oh, everyone did.
But of course.
But I mean, it's that data. I mean, Rotherham, it's you know, the data's different, and Rochdale there is different. Telford's the most extreme one for this data, which shows you how much of a community issue that is.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, this tiny percentage of the town are doing the majority of child sexual exploitation.
I mean, at the end of the day, if it does turn out that every single one of them at least knew tangentially what was going on and were helping to cover it up, just get rid of all of them.
I mean, you can see every the argument being made.
Every single one of them. If it turned out that one of my family members, because I can understand, you know, oh, they're all part of a group, they want to protect themselves. It's like, no, if one of my family members turned out to be a nonce, I'm going to the police. And given that my family members share my complexion, police should probably do something about it.
That's how every other community in the UK works. The Afro community, the Hindu community, the English community, the Welsh community. All of them do that. As for those in the different one here, not so much. We've read the details of how bad that gets. I mean, there was one account. I don't have the link, but you'll have to trust me on this. There was a report by some Muslim group who tried to claim that, you know, look, it happens to Muslim girls too, so it's okay. That it's not a race-based issue, it's not an argument. But they had a quote in there from a witness who said that it was happening on a street, and what happened is when they brought the girls round, they invited over the whole family. Like, there were boys turning up in their school uniforms.
I think I've heard about that
part.
One as well, yeah. You see the text messages that these people send that have been leaked in the past, and it's all talking about how we want some white so-and-so, to make sure that the girl is white, you know, all this sort of stuff. It's race-based, how they choose the targets a lot of the time. Just because it happens to a few people of different ethnicities doesn't excuse it.
No. Also, they would justify it as they're not really Muslims, they're coconuts, as their terminology. But the point here is you get those statements in which we're like, well, we're scared of, you know, kind of race riots or something happening. Like,
I mean, right, there's 3,000 people.
No, but this is always the worst thing, right? Something terrible happens. The evidence of it is that a certain group of people are engaging in this terrible thing, and therefore this is going to be a wide topic to be discussed. So what's your response? Do you have the discussion, show the evidence, make sure everyone's aware, and deal with the matter? It's going to be rough, but you have to deal with the matter, and there's only one way to do
that. Or else it will just keep going on.
Or do you cover the whole thing up for several years until an inquiry years later reveals the whole thing? And then, what's worse? What would be the kind of thing most likely to cause racial tensions, as the language being used is? I think it's the cover-up. I think the cover-up is usually the worst thing here. It is the worst aspect that, you know, how else could you make this situation more, you know, full of racial tensions than actively covering the thing up?
Well, I mean, then all you do is you show the rest of the community outside of this Pakistani community who the favourites are.
Yeah. I can see the chat saying maybe Mr. Robin Tomlinson should run for Police and Crime Commissioner in Telford.
Maybe.
Honestly, that would be freaking hilarious. He probably should. Anyway, but they go to the link here. We can see the Daily Mail went even further than that into the community aspects in here. Children were brainwashed by Loverboy method, they write, as men ran a rape house, which I think that's probably the right language to use in regards to this in future. I mean, people running rape houses.
Yeah.
I mean, again, not a usual Anglo-Saxon phrase that you would find, but
no, sadly, it's just something we have to introduce to a lexicon, apparently.
No, I mean, we've had the cookhouse in the army. You've got the kill house, where you're trained to shoot people in hostage situations in the army. And now in civilian life, we have rape houses. So, they say in here, the report highlighted witness testimony suggesting Asian men were not targeted as part of investigations because it would have been too politically incorrect. That's a direct quote. With one saying police were found to have, quote, dropped the case like a hot potato if such complaints were made. Again, by another witness. One witness claimed police were, quote, frightened to question or challenge because of the ethnicity of the people involved, amidst fears that they could be labelled as racist. Oh no. I mean, you could be labelled as someone covering up, you know, child rape. Would that not be worse? I mean, for every right-winger, that's worse. You would have thought. You see this debate between leftists and rightists online, right? And the leftists go to is, you're a racist because you've said, I don't know, trees should exist or whatever this week. Whereas the right wing, you know, boogeyman of like, what's the worst thing you can be? It's a nonce every time. And
I see a lot. Sadly, it seems there's a lot more nonces out there than racists.
But that's the thing. It's obvious that the police have been taken over by left wing ideology. If they're more afraid of being called a racist than being called a nonce protector, demonstrably. Girls were subjected, quote, in several cases, to death threats against themselves or their families if they tried to stop the abuse, the inquiry heard. The report said, in some cases, threats were reinforced by reference to the murder of Lucy Lowell, who died alongside her mother, sister, and unborn child in August 2000. Abusers would remind girls of what happened to Lucy Lowell and would tell them that they would be next if they said anything. Every boy would mention it. That's actually slightly incorrect. So I unborn child. I don't know if she was pregnant at the time. But so what happened there was there was a girl who was being groomed. She was being raped. She got pregnant. And the police went, not going to look at that. Don't worry about it. She gave birth to a child. And, you know, was obviously the rapists. As in, you know, they knew that was the father. They still did nothing because that wasn't of their concern. And then the rapist decided he didn't want any of that. So he went over and firebombed their house and killed the girl he was raping, their family. And thankfully, the mother in this case threw her, you know, child of her and the guy out of the house. And she's now grown up and she's, you know, an adult. She did a series
with
the BBC about all of this.
I wasn't aware of this.
Named Tasman. And honestly, just very brave. Like,
yes.
It's just going around being like, you know, I'm extremely young and even I can see everything about this was messed up. What the hell's wrong with all the adults? And she's completely right in regards to all of this. But then there's the other aspect. Hang on. 1,000 victims in Telford. Next link, please. Rotherham. 1,400 children. Right.
And that's in 2014, so who knows how many now?
Yeah. And this is, of course, over a time period. So don't get me wrong. But then add up the number of towns. What number do you end up with? Because if we go to the next link here, this is a video the bad man once made. And we'll play it because there's no audio, just in the background, so you can see. And this is every single case in which the bad man managed to link up a place. If you can hit play, please, Michael. There's no sound, so just talk over it. So this is a different place in which one of these situations took place, according to the bad man in his research. He linked them all up for a speech he gave. And it just goes on and on and on. And many of these are less severe, you would hope. Some of them equally severe in the numbers. And then I just start thinking about the pure numbers. If there's 1,000 in Telford, 1,400 in Rotherham, I mean, how many in total in the country?
Yeah, and there does seem to be clusters popping up in the northwest, sadly, around the area where I'm from, and then also around Birmingham and a little bit of the south. Cornwall, happily, seems to be devoid of this, judging by
there's also
rumblings.
Plenty that we don't know about as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Which is also to be kept in mind. But I remember Sarah Champion gave a statistic, I believe it was her, who said she believes there may be 100,000 girls who have been victims of this. And she was sort of laughed out of the room at the time. And everyone was like, no, come on, it's stupidly high. And, but she ain't. She probably ain't wrong. That's the thing. Like, the numbers add up more and more as time goes on, and it don't look good. That's for sure. Although, I wanted to go back to some of the stupidest responses in regards to all this. Because that's the facts. That's how it is. And, well, what do we do with those? I mean, number one, it's up to the police now to go and find the rapists and do their... They won't. Come on. That's not doing it ourselves. But what they'll actually do, they'll say they will, but I don't believe they will at this point, along with every other police service dotted on those maps. However, I wanted to just talk about the political rhetoric that led us here, because that's fundamentally where our mind is at, which is the politics. Because that is what caused the police to not do their job, and is continuing to them not do their job, is the fact that they have been captured by left-wing ideology. The fact that they are more afraid of being called racist than stopping a nonce. The fact that they will put rainbows on everything and everything, and then when you actually point out a instance of racial discrimination or sexual discrimination, not so much.
All of a sudden, it's our problem to deal with.
White English girls, so I don't really want to talk about that. And we'll go first to Sean, of all people. I remember this guy. You remember him? I don't know if you do.
Scouse leftist so-and-so.
It's just unbelievably...
Interesting that he would be arguing against this when I'm pretty sure one of those little dots on Robin's on Rumbly's map was Liverpool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
This leftist decided to tweet this ages ago, but it's always annoyed me. This is a tweet here. Young men swinging right because they feel suffocated by political correctness is a problem. But the solution is not to do away with political correctness in order to appease them. It's to get the little S's to see that political correctness is good, actually. Right, yeah, it's good. 25,000 likes from his brainlit followers there.
I'm all for deporting leftists at this point.
I don't
get
know
him out. Get him out of the country.
I don't know where we'd send him, but it's, I think it's our problem. But these kind of people and their followers need to reckon with their own ideology in real terms. Political correctness is good, actually. Well, okay, let's go to the report, see what they have to say. Real quick, let's go to the next one. We can read the quote here, which from the report itself, if you can click on that, Michael, for me. They say, so far as the council is concerned, I have seen evidence. Quote, in relation to the early 2000s, there was a feeling that certain individuals in the Asian community were not targeted for an investigation into child exploitation because it would have been too, quote, politically incorrect. Don't you know political correctness is a good thing? Say the leftists. Right. This is what you're doing. This is what you're doing to the country. I mean, you've got thousands of names on your belt, frankly.
And that argument as well, that people want to get turned right because political correctness is suffocating them. How do we solve this and bring them to the left? suffocate them with more political correctness.
Yes, just suppress the issue. Just don't tell Stalin that everyone's died in the Holodomor.
He was aware of that, don't worry.
It goes on in more detail here, I don't have time for it though.
Just like Stalin, these people are well aware of where their rhetoric leads. They just hate the society and people that they come from.
100% true. If you go to the next link here, we can see The Guardian reporting on this at the time as well, which if you just click on number three, because it's just a bunch of links on the other ones of the cases. And this one, the headline from The Guardian as this story came out over the years in the UK, grooming and our ignoble tradition of racializing crime. Oh no, how could we do it? Dubious claims about Muslim men grooming white girls hide legitimate worries about the system that fails victims of abuse.
Well, I mean, right in that second part, yeah, it has failed the victims of abuse, hasn't it?
Yeah, and you're part of it. Guardian, left-wing outlet, you are the guys doing this. You are the ones who have destroyed the police as an institution of good and instead have turned them into what they are. If you go to the next link, we can see there are more of these headlines at the time. Just start the first one, because these are all gold. This isn't feminism, it's Islamophobia.
Sorry to break it to you. If you want to be a consistent feminist, you might want to cast a suspicious eye in a particular direction.
Next headline. Muslim leaders warn of far-right exploitation of the Rochdale child's gun. Oh, no. Oh, that's the real worry. Oh, God, what will we do? I mean, there's rapes going on, but the far-right are gaining...
This reminds me of leftists going, libs of TikTok is evil because she shows people exactly what we're saying, which makes us look bad. Muslim leaders are afraid of being shown for what they're doing.
Or at least
makes them look bad.
In this case, that they've been covering this up. If you go to the next one, we can see more of that as well. Why Rochdale grooming trial isn't about race. Trust me, bro. Next one.
You just say it. That makes it true.
The truth about Asian sex gangs from Ella Cockbane, the denier-in-chief. I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she's a, quote, academic who has dedicated her life to denying that any of this is happening. Trust me, it's just normal pedophiles. Nothing unique is going on. But if you go to the next link, we can also see there's a newspaper headline from this in The Times. If you're not familiar with how the story broke, the grooming gang story in its entirety in the UK. So a guy called Andrew Norfolk at The Times was the one who broke the story and got journalism awards for it. Rightfully, good work. However, his own newspaper interviewed The Bad Man back in the day, as in 3 months before he broke that story. If you can click on the first image there, I couldn't get the full thing because it's just, you know, old archives. But you can see it's him being interviewed.
A town torn by extremists, eh?
And if you go to the next image on there, you can see this is a quote from his own newspaper 3 months before he broke the story about Romlin Tomlinson. His claims are extraordinary. Muslims sell heroin as chemical warfare to weaken British society, as well as enticing drug-addicted British girls into paedophilic prostitution. What a madman. How could you believe such conspiracy
what
theories?
What fantasy.
Yeah. We've got the last link here. There's just some more. I'll try and do this quickly because I know I've gone way over time. But it's just the depth of problems. This is just in quotes from the report of what I was quickly able to find from the most ridiculous stories. So we have in here them saying, I am quite satisfied that in the 1990s and early 2000s, and even beyond, West Mercia police allowed a nervousness about race to become prevalent among officers, and that this led to a reluctance to police parts of Wellington in particular. I have heard so many officers recognise the concept of a, quote, no-go area, that I am quite sure that this was how the locality was perceived among officers. Remember how those don't exist? Remember how Donald Trump spoke about them and everyone in the UK establishment lost their minds? We're like, no.
I've seen plenty of Guardian headlines telling me that they're not real, so why would I think they are?
I mean, I don't know why we'd believe the police. I mean, they're the ones who decide where they go. And they've decided certain areas were
they're the ones who
go.
Decide to cover up the activities going on in these areas because they don't want to go there.
So there we have another conspiracy. No-go areas. Completely true. According to the police themselves. They also have a section here under a section labeled corruption. As to the failures to take proper action. Oh, sorry. I've read that in which they basically say the same thing. But if we go to the next link, this is just the full report again. Please go and have a look if you have the time to try and find out more details in here. But I'll read one last story from here because it is just unbelievable the level of failure. And I want to find out who the hell did this, and you'll know who I'm talking about. So on taxi drivers getting their licenses and the enforcement of taking them away in case, you know, they were nonces. So in May 2006, concerns were raised by drivers about what they saw as heavy-handed enforcement by the council. A complaint includes allegations of racism, led to a cabinet member expressing their view that licensing enforcement should cease pending an independent investigation. An independent investigation was undertaken, but during this time, the licensing team became effectively paralyzed, unwilling to act without express permission. So there was a concern that some of the Muslim taxi drivers might have been nonces, so we're going to deal with that. This is racism against Muslim taxi drivers. How dare you do this? And then a Labour cabinet member, they don't say who in this report, I wonder if anyone can find it, because we need the name, frankly, intervened from the highest levels, the cabinet itself, to make sure this local town and its, you know, noncery could continue unabated, because, oof, don't want to be racist towards the taxi drivers. Like, no, it's not racist to stop nonsense. Don't care what race they are. In July 2006, a member of the team sought permission to deal with 11 outstanding enforcement cases, including suggestions of licensed drivers' inappropriate behaviour with children. It was not apparent whether permission was granted. The publication of the investigative report in September 2006 did not restore enforcement powers, but rather recognised that, quote, on a number of occasions, the impact of enforcement activity has disproportionately affected Asian drivers.
Oh, bless.
I shed a tear for the systemic racism of stopping nonsense. I mean, I'm sorry, there is nothing good about this segment. There is nothing thrilling. It is just what it is. The details of what's happened in this country, specifically just in Telford over the last few years, decades, and happens in the rest of the country, isn't stopping, and it's just where we live. I mean, this is just a reality of what modern Britain is, as it is advertised endlessly to us about how, ooh, modern Britain is so good. Well, yeah, well, it comes with this. It comes with this too.
It's great if you're a nonce, apparently, from a certain descent.
I suppose we'll end that there. Sorry, another one over a lot, but not for another black belt.
That's all right. I've not got any better news than that. So
you know, I promised a depresso espresso.
Espresso got to depresso. All right. Well, we all know about the Robb Elementary School shooting that happened at the end of May, where sadly 19 children and two teachers were shot by a lone gunman, and there has been further developments in that story just over the past 24 hours, as footage, security surveillance footage from the school has been released, which shows the police's absolute inability or refusal to take action for a full 77 minutes, which exacerbated the situation when the shooter could have been stopped earlier. I will go over that in a moment because there is plenty of really suspicious stuff that's been going on that really to me smells like a cover-up. Before I do, I'll just draw your attention to the website and recommend that you check out a premium live book club that Carl and Thomas, who came back for a quick guest show, did on Friedrich Nietzsche's Beyond Good and Evil. As far as I'm aware of Nietzsche, he made the statement that God is dead, and honestly, when such terrible things like this sort of stuff is going on, it really does make you question, even though I'm an atheist, whatever force there might be that could constitute a God in the universe perhaps isn't on our side. Anyway, moving on, so one of the most interesting initial things that came out about this was, and this is a Reason article from the beginning of June, was about the Uvalde cops, Uvalde being the town where Robb Elementary School was, reportedly tried to silence a mother who rescued her kids and then criticised the police response. So there seems to have, from the very beginning, been quite an effort to try and cover up and obfuscate a lot of the mistakes that were made with their handling of this situation. So,
how embarrassing. An unarmed mother can do more than 12 of you lads with all your guns.
Oh, there was more than 12 there, trust me. We'll get to that in a minute. But in an interview, Anjali Gomez explained how she was able to enter the school and rescue her two children despite the cops' active efforts to thwart her. I think this article came out after the footage was released of the Uvalde cops outside of the school when you could hear shots being fired, actively barring parents from going in to try and rescue their kids, and even at one point downing and cuffing one of the fathers who was desperate to try and get in and save his child. And it seems one of the people who they did that to was not necessarily just a parent, because we'll get into it later, there was a police officer who was on the team waiting in the hallway whose child was murdered, who was being held back by the other police officers. It's honestly shocking and awful, but I'll carry on. The entire interview is a damning indictment of law enforcement's mishandling of the shooting, but one new detail bears particular emphasis. According to Gomez, the police subsequently contacted her and said that the media attention that she was generating for criticizing them could lead to obstruction of justice charges. Gomez is on probation for unspecified, though decades-old charges. So, you know, they could probably dredge up those old charges, which have nothing to do with anything that she's done right now. If the charges are decades old, then she's a mother now. She went in and saved her children. This is obviously completely unrelated to that. But if you're going for obstruction of justice, then you could probably do that as well. So they were actively threatening parents who were speaking up about how badly this was handled.
What's justice in their mind?
Who knows? Justice, I would assume, means protecting their own back, saving their own skin, which if you're a law enforcement officer whose job, I do not consider you people heroes, it is your job to put your necks on the line to save people. That's what you signed up for.
I mean, if you do the good job, you do become a hero.
If you do the good job, yes, these people, absolutely not. And if we move along, the Uvalde district attorney, when all of this was going on, blocked the footage from being released originally, and this was only a few days ago, so it has been leaked since then. Republican State Representative Dustin Barrows was told in a letter this week by Texas DPS Deputy Director of Homeland Security Operations, Freeman Martin, that though the footage does not show children, DPS has been told not to release it. Burroughs, the chairman of the House Investigative Committee on the Robb Elementary shooting, said he had requested a copy of the video without audio as part of a preliminary report the committee was working on. And he tweeted out regarding this and showed the response that he got. So he just, you know, sent them a letter saying, can I have this footage so that we can release it to at least the members of the Uvalde community so that they will be able to understand what's gone on so we can be more transparent regarding this. I've got a little excerpt from the response that he got. We do not believe its public release would harm our investigative efforts. In fact, releasing this video would assist us in providing as much transparency as possible to the public without interfering with the investigation in the manner that an immediate public release of all evidence would. However, we have communicated your request to Uvalde County District Attorney Christina Mitchell Busby, and she has objected to releasing the video and has instructed us not to do so. As the individual with authority to consider whether any criminal prosecution should result from the events in Uvalde, we are guided by her professional judgment regarding the potential impact of releasing the video, which for me is politician talk for it will make us look bad. We need to find a way to spin this first. As far as I'm concerned, I understand that there are worries that it could interfere with whatever investigation, but they acknowledge in this letter here, it probably won't do anything bad for us to release this footage, at least for the sake of looking transparent, because as far as it goes, it looks like you've been trying to cover a lot of stuff up.
We just need to get our story straight first, as Poso said, which is probably correct.
Yes, exactly. And then there's an interesting contrast we can have here if we move along to the next... I got a Metro article as well. Apologies.
I love it. It's such a meme outlet at this point. Look at that. Like, look at the flag.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Because there was a contrasting event that happened at the end of last month in June where a man, Jayland Walker, an unarmed black man, was shot, which led to uprising and protests in Akron, Ohio. And I'll just go through just a little bit of the details of this. So they released the body cam footage a week after it happened, which is pretty good turnaround for this sort of stuff happening, so that they could show what had happened was that he was in a car chase with them, and then he gets out of the car, runs away, and reaches for his waist, which led to the police, who were all chasing him, to assume he might have been reaching for a firearm, at which point they all shoot him. But obviously... Yes, and this led to protests because unarmed black man gets shot by police will, of course, only ever lead to protests in modern America. But the police were able, when there was a grey area in the footage that makes it uncertain whether they were in the right or wrong, they were able to release that footage as quickly as possible to try and quell some of the upset. Whereas, when it's something like Uvalde, in which the footage makes it very, very clear, as far as I'm concerned, that the police were entirely in the wrong... Hide it. Keep it behind closed doors. And Burroughs himself, the man behind the investigation, was saying even before this footage got released, it was his intention to show the hallway video to the people of Uvalde regardless of any agreement. So I won't, he said he wouldn't release it to the public until the people of Uvalde have seen it for themselves. And I do think it is quite unfortunate. A lot of people have denounced that the footage being released to the public does mean that they got to see it before a lot of the people whose family members were involved in this. I think it's good for transparency and it's good for knowledge of the public to know what's gone on, but I do understand that out of respect, it would have been better for them to see it first, from what they're saying.
I can respect that position.
But at the same time, it definitely seems like there were people involved who were trying to cover it up. And that's when we get to last night, where the footage was released. And I'll describe a little bit of what it says here, and then I'll play a clip from it, because the footage, of course, is about 1 hour and 22 minutes long. And it shows a lot. You can see what happened was the shooter was driving erratically, drove into a ditch, crashed in the ditch, and then two people from a nearby funeral home approach him, at which point they recognize that he's loading an AR-15-style gun and starts shooting at them. They run away. He walks very calmly, very slowly, into the school as a police cruiser, which is apparently the police, the school police, drives by. Does nothing. Guy holding a rifle walks into the school. Not my job.
Another day in America.
Yep. Pretty much. A guy didn't do anything. And then it led to, and then as soon as he gets in there, you know, he turns a corner, enters a room and starts shooting. And it's honestly, I watched a little bit of the footage and you can hear the phone call that one of the teachers made. It's very distressing. Very distressing to listen to. So I won't be playing any of the footage in which you can hear that sort of stuff. I'll be playing more stuff to show the police involvement in this. But yeah, I'll just read some of this. A 77-minute video recording captured from this vantage point, the surveillance footage of the hallway, along with body camera footage from one of the responding officers obtained by the American Statesman and KVUE, shows in excruciating detail dozens of sworn officers, local, state, and federal, heavily armed, clad in body armor, with helmets, some with protective shields, walking back and forth in the hallway, some leaving the camera frame and then reappearing, others training their weapons toward the classroom, talking, making cell phone calls, sending texts, and looking at floor plans, but not entering or attempting to enter the classrooms. Even after the hearing, at least four additional shots from the classrooms, 45 minutes after police arrived on the scene, the officers waited. They asked for keys to one of the classrooms, which turned out later to have been unlocked, according to the investigators. They brought tear gas and gas masks. They later carried a sledgehammer, and still they waited. Officers finally rushed into the classroom and killed the gunman an hour and 14 minutes after the police first arrived on the scene. 19 fourth graders and their two teachers died in the massacre. Just a few days before the school year. So, yeah, at first, seeing the footage, the police get in there, they run towards the classroom, there's some shots exchanged from the shooter, I think one of the police officers gets his ear grazed a little bit, they run back, and from that point onwards, they just wait, and you can see in the footage, which I'll show in a moment, all that happens is the corridor just gets increasingly filled with all of these people, all very heavily armed people with body armor, and they just wait.
Who have signed up to go in and shoot active shooters.
That is your job. But yeah, me describing it, let's just show the footage because the Statesman has done a little edit showing what's going on with little annotations to show how many minutes this is after the police arrived. So yeah, we can see about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people in the frame at least. We've got some body camera footage there. Sorry, did you? Oh, there we go. And this was about 48 minutes after they arrive. They start walking forwards. And you can just see how many people there are there. One shooter, one active shooter, because apparently what happened was that the police chief or whoever was in charge of the operation treated
just,
this.
Just dude sanitizing his hands.
Yeah, dude just sanitizing his hands. You can just see
checking his phone.
You see that guy being held back there on the right? The guy being held back who looks like he's very worried about what happened? His daughter was one of the victims.
Yeah.
They're actively holding him. He looks horrified at this whole thing. No.
How many guys? I mean, I'm just seeing like more just out of frame slightly. I mean, there must be more behind that as well.
Yeah. So imagine your daughter...
Yeah, of course there are. There are more people turning up. Why aren't there?
Yeah. Imagine your daughter has just, you know, you don't know whether she's dead or alive, and all of your colleagues who you're supposed to be joining together to help are holding you back.
It's like I'm watching a goddamn clown car. Like, just as you were talking, five more people turned up in the frame.
It's absolutely horrifying, the level of incompetence that I see here. And the reason that they did this is supposedly because, like I say, the person who was in charge of the operation said to treat it like a hostage or barricaded gunman situation rather than active shooter. When this guy is active shooter and he has just killed 21 people.
So that's the only defense, which is a local commander messed up, made the wrong call, and it's like, damn, yeah, he made the wrong call. In which case, what do we do now, I suppose?
Yeah, and if you want to see the full footage, Jack Posobiec has been very good at keeping consistent in covering this, and on his Twitter page, he actually shared the full footage, so you can see what went on if you want to. I will just warn everybody, it's very distressing.
It's shooter footage. So.
Yeah, you don't see him shoot anybody, but you hear the phone call, you hear some of the gunshots fired. They even mentioned that they've had to edit out the screams of children, so it's not nice.
Nah.
It's not nice. And then he also pointed out what I knew from reading the articles, but just to make it clearer again, if you go to the next one for me, Michael, thank you. Take a look at this photo, see how one officer is being held back. That's the one whose 10-year-old daughter was in the room, and she was murdered. Across the hallway, there's a piece of absolute S leaning on the wall on his phone. And there's another photograph as well that he shared out that I didn't include in this, where one of the first officers to show up on the scene looks at his phone, and you can see very, very clearly from the angle, he's got a Punisher screensaver, you know, the Punisher skull face. And people have been pointing out that's kind of a good example of how these people see themselves, and this footage is how they actually were.
Yes.
It's not a great look.
I mean, I don't know how much blame you put on, because it's the commander who made the call, that's true. And in which case, on the individual guys, I mean, the guy there who's you know, daughter is dead, he's not wanting to stand there, presumably.
No, he's wanting to rush in and take the guy out. You know, I think throw all of these other guys out there.
Well, that's the thing. If the guy whose daughter's being killed isn't running in, I mean, what are the rest of them as well? Like, I don't know how much blame you can lay on every single person, but it certainly is the case that you would have thought anyone else would have been like, buddy, let's just ignore order script.
Yeah, I mean,
like, F the commander, I can hear shots, let's go.
That's the thing, is that I thought we established a while back that I was just following orders isn't an excuse anymore.
Especially when it's your kid.
Yes, I mean, this guy obviously does not want to be following orders. That's why they're having to sort of like pull him back. I think he's aware that if he just ran straight in,
the other guys would grab him.
The other guys would grab him. But if you just removed everybody else from that photograph and just let the dad go at it, I think we would have had this problem solved a lot quicker than the rest of them were allowed to. It's just pathetic and pitiful, as far as I'm concerned.
Look, he's trained. If he dies saving his kid, he's not going to be upset.
And how do you think the Uvalde mayor has responded to this?
Nothing to do with me, governor, I would presume.
Can you believe those evil journalists releasing the footage before we gave them permission?
What? Yep. Sorry. Yep. All right. So hang on. Like, your police force is being made out to look like chicken-ess, as I could just see there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, no, not the police.
Uvalde mayor attacks media for chicken-ess leak of school shooting video as residents slam him for another effing cover-up after he took down the memorial to the child victims.
I mean, you could
not looking good.
No, but you're like, if you're the mayor, I mean, put yourself in a... You could have said nothing and you would have looked better. Instead, you were like, no, I'm going to stand with the police who stood by.
Yeah, they had a city council meeting yesterday, and he said, the way that video was released is one of the most chicken things I've ever seen. Yes, I've wanted the video released, but all these news agencies knew that we were working with the House committee. He reiterated the original plan for officials to meet on Sunday morning, provide a report for the parents, and then have family members come back to a 2 p.m. Meeting for a question and answer session. The video was then released. Multiple members of the community were also happy about the makeshift memorial to the victims of the shooting being removed on July 8th. One resident accused the council of being involved in an effing cover-up of the removal, and the council member who called the release chicken-ass continued after the mayor, saying that one part of the released video was not going to be in the video shown to families on Sunday. He says they did that for rating and they did that for money. A member of the audience at this point yells out, "What about the cops? Are they chicken-ass too?" The council member replies, "We're going to handle that." So this whole thing, I don't trust any of these people to have released the footage to the appropriate people. I don't trust any of these people to have let everybody know what actually happened. And they're just trying to blame the press for doing what you should have done at least a month ago.
I can't get over that interaction. The people who released the footage are the bad people. What about the cops? So I'm going to get back to you. I don't know. We're going to circle back.
And of course, the response has been...
They did it for ratings and money. How do you actually make money off this? I don't think you can make money off that footage.
I think they did it to reveal the truth of what was going on, because yeah, I think we can all smell a cover-up.
It's not like they're going to get YouTube bucks. Like, that ain't going to be monetized.
No, so. I don't, you know, somehow I don't think school shootings get many, like, get much money on YouTube. You're right there.
You're going to click to your website? I mean, probably not many, yeah, frankly. I mean, people just check this stuff out on the social media site, so... Doesn't it? Whatever.
And like I say, the response to all of this has been pretty typical, as the members of Uvalde have rallied around and done a rally in favor of gun control. And I completely understand why they would consider it this to be the correct response after what has happened. But as always, I would say that this is not the response to make, because if you ban all the guns, you have monopolized gun ownership in the hands of the police, who have shown themselves to not be that willing to put themselves in danger if their boss tells them, just hold back and wait for my orders. And I mean, carry on.
There was a guy on Joe Rogan who made a great point about this, which is that, so you get people like this, I mean, you can understand why they might.
Yes, I can understand these people.
Fundamentally, the argument goes, well, we have to abolish the Second Amendment if you want this to stop by just getting rid of guns. That's how far you're going to have to go.
But then how are you going to get rid of the guns? Because they're out there in the system.
Yeah, not going to happen. It wouldn't work anyway, so dumb. And but there's a guy on Joe Rogan who made a great point, which is that the Republican response of putting people in with guns as well, it can help. However, he said, and I'm convinced by his argument, best thing to do is let teachers have guns and then just don't let it be known who has them. Because then you take into the shooters aspect. I mean, they're doing it as a suicide, right? And they want to make it a big show. In which case, if they can walk in and just get popped immediately, that's no good to them. In which case, the school is no longer a target. Whereas if no one in the school has guns, perfect target for them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think I showed the footage of that school, I think in, not in Ohio, but maybe Utah or something, where every single one of the teachers was armed, yeah. And I think the school...
And they kept it for themselves as well.
Yeah, they kept it to themselves. The school, like, preacher had a Bible that he kept his gun in, just to make sure that nobody knew where he had it. And that's how you really deal with these things, is make these places less of an easy target for school shooters. But I can completely, again, understand why they're doing this. I just think that they're going about it the wrong way. Anyway, that's that. And Uvalde police force not looking good.
Right, time for a white pill.
Thank God.
At least something isn't a black pill. Let's do that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's try and have some fun.
All right.
Right. Anne Frank's white privilege. All right, you already know it's going to be good. So,
yep.
This is a debate that has popped up in left-wing circles, because, of course. There is the intersectional hierarchy, and how you get to the top is you're the most oppressed, and white men and everyone else and white women, we've all kind of lost. That's settled, for sure.
I mean, we're just inherently evil, so...
Black Americans, Jews, fight. That's the debate.
Sorry, have we got the toys on the table?
And let's get ready to rumble.
Okay, all right.
At least that is what the intersectionals are up to. But before we go into it first, just going to mention the Active Measures Book Club, which you can go and check out on the website. Because, of course, if you want a lesson in demoralizing and a masterclass, I mean, that's definitely it. And really, that's what this debate fundamentally comes down to, in my opinion. Because if you go to the next link, we can see Chris Rufo responded to this rumble. The hellscape of Twitter is at it again, and this time arguing whether Anne Frank, a girl killed in the Holocaust for being Jewish, actually had white privilege. And Chris is like, this is your brain on CRT.
Alright, I'm very, very interested to see what arguments they're making here.
Yeah, if you go to the next link, the article is there, but all the tweets they reference have been removed. Oh no. See, just at the top there, it's just like, tweet unavailable. I'm like, yeah, of course it is.
Wouldn't a question about from leftists be, surely one of the questions they would be asking is, are Jews white in the first place?
That's a whole other debate.
Oh, but, no.
For the time being, there are people who are going to argue that black Americans, because we were slaves, therefore...
I thought they was Kangs.
No, and
there were slave Kangs.
Actually, when you... Yeah, that doesn't make sense, does it? No. It's almost like Tariq Nasheed's ideology doesn't cope him. Anyway, so... Were black Americans worse off because, you know, slavery? Or Jews because, you know, everything that happened to the Jews, ever. So we go to the next one. This is the article itself. And there's some people who are arguing here. So someone decides to tweet out because they couldn't shut up. Hold on. I just want to make sure I say this carefully. Of course you do, buddy.
Mm.
Yeah, Anne Frank had white privilege. Bad things happen to people with white privilege. But also, don't tell me whites...
Don't tell the whites that. So they're acknowledging at the same time that if you're white, bad things can still happen to you. But don't let anybody know that, or else they might start to think they need to be treated like human beings.
But just like, don't let them know that. But white people have bad things happen to them. I mean, is he essentially saying, look, Anne, you might be in constant fear of being turned into ashes.
Listen, you might be dead.
But you're not black.
Imagine how much worse it would be if you were scared of the SS and black. Hmm?
Ooh, it would have been horrible, Anne. Would you rather have been black or Jewish in Nazi Germany? I mean, it's not much of a toss-up and relevant.
This really does show the level of brain rot that goes into this, where you are literally viewing everything through the perspective of race.
You seen that Boondocks episode?
I've not watched Boondocks. I still need to.
Oh, well, I've just seen the clips, but there's one where something they describe as an N moment, which I can't repeat. And it's where two men cross paths and then shoot at each other. And then they cross to what happens when this happens to a white man. And in their mind, the white man barges with the black man, and the black man says, watch where you're walking. And the white guy goes, I don't have to care about this. I'm white.
That is true how it happens, to be fair. So
he just walks away, and the black guy's like, wait, this is a perfectly reasonable moment to throw away your life. And that's what's happening in my mind. It's like, you imagine Anne Frank being like, damn, everything's terrible. Hang on a second. But I am white. Struts out into Strassenfraser or whatever.
The SS knock on the door, and she just goes, I am white, don't you know? Oh. I'm very, very sorry.
Walk down Adolf Hitler Strasse. Hello, my fellow whites. It's just like, yeah, that's how these people genuinely see the world. Someone else continued with this pool of knowledge. No one is saying the Nazis didn't target white people, just that white people can hide behind their whiteness, whereas in Nazi USA, black people can't.
But
Anne Frank could hide behind her whiteness.
I mean, that worked out so very well for her, didn't it?
I don't think it did for a lot of people.
Ibram X. Kendi can't hide behind his blackness to make tens of thousands of dollars every time he does a 45-minute seminar calling all the white people in his audience racist.
Yeah, in Nazi America, which presumably is as bad as Nazi Germany. I mean, there are...
I mean, they're both Nazis, so it must be.
There are white families hiding blacks in their attic as we speak. It's terrible.
Wait, no. It must be Asian or Latinx. Because why would white people want to hide black people?
Well, because remember, it's the critical race theory. It's whites against the world.
Exactly.
Then I have to imagine, you know, send £3 and you can sponsor a black family to hide in an attic, as I'm sure they all are. Whoopi Goldberg, very, very famously not on TV, instead in an attic somewhere.
I mean, she's got a very, very good setup in her attic.
Yeah.
But still an attic.
Dude, you can't hide behind the fentanyl as well. It's just, okay. Someone else went out with another pool of knowledge and decided to add it to this conversation. This also seems to be in the same vein as Whoopi Goldberg, who put forth on The View this year when she likened the Holocaust to one group of white people against another, not wanting to conflate that with racial oppression experienced by African Americans. And that's what this is about. And that's why I say it's ready to rumble debate.
Well, yeah, she and other people who think like her, they want to monopolize the idea that only a particular race of people can have bad things happen to them.
Well, it's who's the worst off. I mean, that's why this is left on left
violence.
Well,
yeah, but at the end of the day,
who's at the top of the hierarchy? Is it black Americans or Jews?
Yeah, but they want those at the top of the hierarchy to basically monopolize victimhood against all others.
Yeah, so they want themselves there. Mm-hmm. At least Whoopi Goldberg wants herself there, because she's not Jewish, by the way.
She's so obviously starving.
Although her name is literally a stage name, Whoopi Goldberg, apparently coming from the fact that she farts a lot, so she's gassy, and Goldberg she wanted to sound Jewish, so her name is Gassy Jew.
I still love that I found that. That's
a fact. It's just one of those things. But I also just love, like, who is the most oppressed and therefore the most holy, black Americans or Jews? And it's just like, everyone else in the room is sat there like, well, we've all been kicked out, so screw it, I'm throwing money in the ring, who's gonna win?
Irish, just like, I guess I'm not as part of this conversation.
No. Troubles aren't going on anymore, too bad. Although we'll get to them in a minute. But there's also the obvious aspect to this whole conversation, which is the inversion of reality in every respect is absolutely central to the intersectional worldview. I mean, how else do you demoralize people into engaging in what is modern American culture, frankly, in regards to these debates? I mean, this is just the norm for the Yankees, it seems. And it certainly does no good to purposely confuse people, as Douglas pointed out, but it sure would be useful to demoralize society. And there's some other examples of things like Anne Frank's white privilege debate, which is obviously there for demoralization. And we'll cross over to the IRA.
Hey!
Sinn Féin here, who, of course, have no connections to the IRA. I misspoke, of course. But they decided to quote one of their people who said, quote, I am working to build a society not of orange and green, but a rainbow of colours and multiculturalism which reflects who we are and what we stand for today, which is not Irish nationalism, presumably, because that's, I mean...
It's not multicultural, as far as I'm aware.
What were all the bombings about? What, like, what were all the hunger strikes, the shootings, that, you know, the war? No?
I thought
it was about making a green society? You know, Irish nationalism? No. In fact, the thing Sinn Féin stand for these days is Yankee intersectionalism of a multicultural society, which reflects who we are today. Not at any point else in our history. I'm sorry, but I can't get over just how far this worldview infects the world, to the point that we have the Irish nationalists over here being like, yes, we too don't care about whether you're Irish or Catholic. I'm like, right.
I mean, they've got the church. They've got so many.
Yeah, they've got the Muslim church, don't they?
Yeah, they've got so many of the church. No. I mean, like, intersectionalism has captured the church over here. Hence, Calvin Robinson not being able to be ordained because he said, "I don't think you guys are racist." And then they went, "Actually, we are. Get out."
Yeah.
So who's really surprised they've got the Irish nationalists as well?
I mean, if the boys in Afghanistan are watching, I mean, just feel proud. I mean, you managed to get the IRA to just convert, presumably. Allahu Akbar. Anyway, let's get to the next link, because there's more of this madness. You can see here, Titania McGrath tweeted this earlier, and it's another form of just obvious, like, demoralization. I don't know what else is going on with this. Pink News tweeting out, the heat wave is dangerous for gender non-conforming people. What is the point in this?
Well, I mean, is it because, like, scroll down a little bit, is it because they all have to wear their shirts with the top button up?
You can just
at all times?
Take it off. Enjoy your life. Take one further if you want to look for that 70s look.
To be fair, a lot of gender non-conforming people, I do see them wearing button-up shirts with a top button done all the time. It's like a coat. It's like a uniform for them. So
no one does that, though, do they?
Like, no one normal that I'm aware of. Like, why would you want the top button done up unless you're wearing a tie?
I mean, like, no straights, gays, trans. No one does that. So, I mean, you are right. It's only the people who are like, I'm non-binary, who I ever see doing that, but... Maybe that's just I haven't met enough. But.
Maybe it's because they've just got out of the NB meeting or something.
Maybe. But I love Titania McGrath, of course, the joke character from Andrew Doyle, saying, given the weather is now transphobic, we urgently need to put all meteorologists on a far-right watch list. I indeed agree, comrade. But if we go to the article itself, it's a real article. I for one moment, thought it was a fake. But nah, it's real. It's a real thing.
Oh, it's from 2018 as well. Imagine how many lives have been lost. F's over the summers.
F's in the chat against the oppressor, which is the sun god. That's the point we're at now.
What was the logic behind this?
So this was, the idea was that they take off their clothes a bit more when it gets hot, and people look at them and think they don't look like a woman, and point that out, which is threatening. I thought it was something else. I thought it was the next image here, which I love. I'm going to effing kill someone with disease. Symptoms is too hot outside for a bit too long. I mean, I imagine that's what she was going for, but no, apparently it's something
else.
Well,
like, people who subscribe to gender ideology are far more unhinged on average, so...
But also, we're having a heat wave right now, and I'm not feeling good.
back away.
Let's go to the next one, because there's something more I wanted to speak
of. This clip.
I love this. I love this so much. But, I mean, it just perfectly works with her. Anne Frank has white privilege. Also, men can give birth. Again, normal Yankee dialogue, political dialogue, and this is so weird to look at. I mean, not even our parliamentarians have got to this level of cringe, but let's watch a debate in the American Congress.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to all of the witnesses for being here. Before, I want to visit with you, Ms. Maskey, but before I do, I just want to clear one thing up. Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue. We can recognize that
this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
So your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic.
What deflection.
And it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing that.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important.
Because of my line of questioning? Because, so we can't talk about it?
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying that trans people exist by asking
you
if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think
so. So you are denying that trans people exist?
And that leads to violence? Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you?
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this?
Where no.
They're told that they're opening up people to violence.
We have a good time in my class. You should join.
I bet.
You might learn a lot.
Wow, I would learn a lot. I've learned a lot just
in
this exchange.
Absolutely.
Extraordinary.
Just tear down the universities at this point. They are... Yeah. A net negative.
There are no American universities. There are daycare centers. That's all it is.
Well, they're indoctrination camps.
Yeah, for leftists to hang out.
And she teaches law at Berkeley, an incredibly prestigious university.
Not anymore. I mean, we need to stop doing that. These places aren't. I'm sorry, American universities' names should be mud, because they rightly to be seen for what they are, which is people like that.
Yeah.
Do you believe men can get pregnant?
And this,
no.
This is something that I've this is something that I've experienced recently as well, which is the second anybody who's into this gender ideology, the moment you ask a question that's a little bit too uncomfortable for them to answer, immediately just, don't you understand you're killing people? Don't you understand that this line of questioning is deeply transphobic and would lead to little children jumping out of their bedroom windows straight onto their soft little skulls?
I love that. It's just like, I don't think men can get pregnant. You're killing people. Wait, I can do that just by saying things?
Well, the power! The power!
Do people just die when I say their names?
Oh my god, it's the equivalent. Did you ever get told when you were a child that every time you lie, an angel loses its wings or something like that? Or like
that's what it is.
Every time you lie, an angel dies. A little fairy falls into a pot of boiling acid. That's what this is.
Yeah, trust us. There we go. I also see the chat saying AOC eyes, very much so.
But
we'll end this off with one more aspect of just trying to demoralize everyone, which is the Friends and the Fall of Friends, which we haven't actually noted on, but I really wanted to because it's so funny. So this is Friends star Lisa Kudrow addresses the criticism of the show's all-white cast. Number one, how is that a criticism? Didn't you know you're white? That's a criticism now.
Just being white is a bad thing, Callum.
Yeah.
You should know this.
But no, that is how they believe, and I'm glad we're
there. I'm
glad we're at the point where it's like, don't you know you're white?
Do you not feel the deep guilt of original sin every time you step out into public?
No.
Me neither.
Whereas Friends does. Kudrow added that the show thought it was very progressive, noting there was a guy whose wife discovered she was gay and pregnant. As if being pregnant is some kind of progressive... How it's got.
Gay and pregnant. Whoa!
And they raised a child together. We had.
The women speak.
Yeah.
What?
This is obviously defense. Didn't you know we were progressive? I was like, okay, yeah. So that's embarrassing.
But so cringe.
One of the founders is the funniest story out of this because some of the actors, of course, have done some cringe things. But if you go to the next one. This is the best one in here. So this is pure demoralization. Friends' lack of diversity embarrassed its co-creator, so she made a $4 million decision. Not a decision. She paid her ransom.
You absolute cook.
Kaufman felt, quote, Friends was being unfairly singled out, claiming there was too much attention on the near absence of black people and other people of color. It was difficult and frustrating. But now, Kaufman says she gets it. Gets what? That we let white people exist. Presumably that is the complaint, white people.
Well, presumably what she's got is that she'll be increasingly pushed out of the industry unless she addresses it in a way that the mainstream will like. Because what's happened is...
It sounds like one way that works.
Yeah, she's been beaten down into this position.
The series' failure to be more inclusive, Kaufman says, was a symptom of her internalization of the systemic racism that plagues our society.
What? No, you couldn't... all you literally have to say is it's not something we thought about as much back then, but I suppose that wouldn't be... Grow a spine.
I don't care. Dilate. Just hang on.
Cope and seethe.
Yeah. It's just, no, instead, completely whipped into...
Like, all you need to do, if you're this sort of person... Do you remember Five Nights at Freddy's, Scott Cawthon? Got called out because he donated money to Republicans and also the one good Democrat whose name I've completely forgotten all of a sudden.
Me too.
Hawaiian Democrat.
Hawaii lady.
Yeah, pretty hot, to be fair. Yeah, he got called out for that and got cancelled, and he was just like, well, I'm just going to take my millions of dollars and retire then. Goodbye, everybody. Yeah. That's all you need to do. If you're already rich, you're already successful, your best work... I mean, if you're the head of Grace and Frankie, I'm sorry, your best work is far behind you.
Also, like, you have millions of dollars. They don't. You're an American in America. Be an American. Just be the rich guy who's like, I'm rich or not, go to hell. Like, that's what I expect Americans
to be. Put your Monopoly Man top hat on and stroll off into the distance.
Well, what's the point in that country otherwise?
I know.
She says, which she came to see more clearly after the aftermath of the 2020 murder of George Floyd by Minneapolis police.
Which was like, caused by friends?
So guy eats fentanyl and dies. She now sees that because of that, her TV show should have had more people like that brave soul.
See, what happened was Friends was Chauvin's favourite show, and if only there'd been more black people, he'd have seen them as humans.
He used to beat suspects to the beat, and it was like, yeah, like the Peter Griffin getting out of Shawshank. Yep. Like, it's no one told you life was gonna be this way. Get on the floor. Anyway, that reckoning was the catalyst for her decision to pledge $4 million of her alma mater to the Boston area's university to establish an endowed professorship in the school's African and African American Studies Department. Right, grievance studies. So there's going to be no new showrunners out of that. Let's get that over. There's no new actors coming out of that. There's no set designers coming out of that. You get people who are commissars.
No. Let's be perfectly honest. No. Coming out of that, there will be screenwriters. The next generation of screenwriters for Marvel films, for the Wakanda series.
The African-American Studies Department?
Yes. Black Panther 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 will have writers for years.
A Tariq Nasheed production. Buck breaking two.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. Quote, it was after what happened to George Floyd that I began to wrestle with my having brought into systemic racism in many ways I was never aware of. You made a show about white people doing things and you were like, well, that's me doing racism. Just saying white people exist and do things is racism now. Quote, that was really the moment that I began to examine the way I had participated. I knew then I needed to course correct. I was like, lady, you didn't have your knee there. I mean, unless you did and you're telling us secretly you were out of frame, like, I mean, pushing down on the neck as well.
We always draw the comparison, but it is absolutely true. What she's talking about here is her come to Jesus moment. This is her 100%. Grand awakening to the light of God upon her.
I mean, the next quote is pure grand awakening. Quote, I have to say, after agreeing to this and when I stopped sweating, it didn't unburden me. I don't know why she words like that. It didn't unburden me, but it lifted me up.
Really,
I came to Christ because the ghost of George Floyd came down and went, it's okay, we cool.
What happened was that the exorcism happened. She was exorcised of her horrendous racism.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. She goes on and it whines. But I want to go back just because there's one really funny bit in here in which they quote, how do you say his name? David Schwimmer? I think that's right.
David Schwimmer, yeah.
It looks weird. Anyway, but David Schwimmer gives a quote in here, and it's the funniest thing. David Schwimmer said in 2020 in an interview that he felt it was, quote, just wrong that there was not a broader cultural representation in the series. He added that he had pushed for Ross to date diverse women. Quote, I felt Ross should date other people, women of all races, being the direct quote, which, what? How would that work? Like in the show, like the door opens and it's Ross and he goes, hey guys, you know, laugh the track.
Meet Kalisha.
I'm dating a brown. And then there's just whooping from the audience in the studio. It's like, is that the set they want?
Also, like purely, would that not have taken away from the whole Ross and Rachel, will they, won't they? If he's just, every single episode, he's just got a new diverse woman on his arm.
Yeah, and then Rachel starts blacking up to try and win him back. Actually, this might be a good show.
Yeah, no, this is hilarious. Somebody make that.
I'd watch this. So will the $4 million that she had to hand over be enough? Of course not. If you go to the next one here, we can see there's some article that came out. So would a black Friends fix it? TV's white New York still needs to reckoning. And it's like, okay, yeah, so it didn't work. What, you thought it would work? Of course it wouldn't work. Hand over $4 million. Thanks for that. You got any more? I mean, that's really the response.
This image alone just looks like a joke. looks like a random joke.
It probably is.
From the show.
It's
still from Jay-Z's music video.
Yeah, there you have it. I mean, it's a reference. It's not something you would redo because that would be weird.
If Jay-Z was so desperate for a black friend, just do it, Jay-Z. You've got enough money.
Although I kind of want to see a remake of Wakanda where it's all white. You know, it's Valhalla.
Set in South Africa.
Oh, God. However, what would a religious sermon in the middle of these shows look like that she wants to implement in her new shows, the lady who's suffering so much over there? Well, the BBC has let us know in the past, and I thought we'd go back and cringe at what the BBC tried once upon a time,
which is
to lecture the British public, who pay for them to exist, about a cultural appropriation. Let's play.
So yeah, with first-time clients, I like to talk through the kind of thing you're thinking, where you want to go with your hair.
I brought some inspiration. This is what I'm thinking.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is Bob Marley.
Didn't know who he was.
Okay. But you wanted dreadlocks like Bob Marley.
Yeah, I think I could, like, really pull that off. Don't you think I can pull it off?
I don't. But it's not really about that. Don't know if you've ever heard of the term cultural appropriation before.
Oh, I love culture. I went to Berlin once, and all my friends there had dreadlocks.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
What's that calling for?
Okay, if I were to wear my hair in dreadlocks and I went into work, say in an office, I would get told to wear my hair straight to look more
professional. That's not true.
That would be really cute.
That's not true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. You're not getting it. Let's just not do this. I'm going to ask you to leave.
Wait, what? Why?
I tried to explain, but you weren't listening, so let's just end this now.
What is happening? Asshole.
Oh, it's nothing personal. It's just that we hate you here.
Bye, Sienna.
Come on.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
Please hurry up. I just made food and you're keeping me from eating it. Let's go. Boom, boom, boom.
Hi! Oh, you should just leave. She's not going to do your hair.
That was the BBC, paid for by the public.
I mean, shrill is absolutely the right word for it.
But that's the BBC trying to tell us what we should think and doing it by being like...
How can you write that and think I am a good person? She was oblivious to what she was talking about, but she's not evil.
But also, all my friends in Berlin had dreadlocks. Oh, I bet they did.
What does that mean?
The white people can wear dreadlocks? In fact, they have for quite a lot of time.
Have you heard of Vikings?
Well, it goes even further back than that. Because if you go to the next one, the BBC didn't end there. Of course, they made headlines at the time being like, oh, by the way, is it okay for white people to wear dreadlocks? Your next link, please, you can see here. Just a real BBC headline. I mean, it's kind of thing
I need the BBC's permission.
I mean, is this a... I thought this was BuzzFeed, those kinds of titles, but no, instead. But if you go to the next link here, we can see that most people started responding to this with this image.
Oh, really?
Which is probably the earliest known example of dreadlocks, which is Greek boxers in ancient Greece, 1500 BC.
They're looking like they suffer from a lack of melanin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, just that whole statement of, oh, if I went into an office with my hair like that, I'd be told to straighten it to look more professional. No, I've worked in offices before with people with dreadlocks, and the management were basically falling over themselves to congratulate them for being so brave to come in. And we don't worry about any sort of thing like that here. We're very inclusive and we care so much.
But just this whole content, everything we've just gone through, I mean, all of that, as Zizek would probably say, pure demoralization. Anyway, it's just the fact that all of that is that. But then
Zizek does make some good points.
He sniffs very well. But but I love that even on this point, the end of the dreadlocks thing, I was like, don't you know white people are stealing dreadlocks from us? Can't even get that right. Actually, black people are stealing dreadlocks from the whites, it turns out.
Our culture is being appropriated.
All the way to the Greekos over here.
Give me my victim badge.
So even when you're trying to demoralize us, you fail, which I thought we'd try and end on that to cheer us up from the Depresso Espresso that were the previous two segments.
Put a smile on my face, so thank you.
Now let's get one from Alex, if we can play.
Oh, Michael says that the video player buttons aren't working very well, so he's apologizing just in case there's any issues here.
No, don't worry. Let's go to Alex Ogle to cheer us all up.
Americans might think John Oliver, some rapier wit from the UK, transplanted to the US for better opportunity. In fact, few in the UK had heard of him outside some appearances on BBC's Mock the Week. His assertion that the Georgia Guidestones were a blueprint for recovering civilization after a catastrophe is typically absurd. Consider a disease much more effective than COVID that wipes out 6 out of 7 people on the planet. In the aftermath, these stones tell us that half the surviving 1 billion people must be killed to maintain perpetual balance with nature. Not much of a blueprint.
No, it's the ramblings of someone who's lost their mind.
Yeah.
They've got the power to be able to put it up. Yeah, and I John Oliver's career is very weird because I've seen his old stuff on Mock the Week.
Wasn't he on the Daily Show for a little bit with Jon Stewart?
Sure, but when he was in the UK doing his material on Mock the Week, like he's normal, like he's a normal human being.
I don't remember the episodes with him on Mock the Week. The earliest,
there's only a few.
Yeah, the earliest thing I think I've seen him in it is he's in a few seasons of Community, if you've ever watched that, and he's all right in that. But John Oliver is only funny when he's speaking the words that other people have written for him.
Sure, but it's just, you got him normal, goes to America, becomes a raging lunatic. I mean, Trevor Noah, when he was a South African comedian, I mean, he'd do stuff, it was about race, because, you know, being mixed race from South Africa makes sense.
I mean, that's material you've got right there.
But it was never critical race theory, it was always funny stuff, it was always jokes about the absurdity of humanity or whatever, and now, raging lunatic. I mean, just every single time they get involved with that part of the world in that specific instance.
Don't move to LA.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Don't move to LA or New York.
Ugh. Go to the next one.
To reiterate on my last video, referring to the Russian-Ukraine conflict and the wars in the Middle East and North Africa, the reason why I feel that these conflicts are irrelevant is because we in the West thought we were doing some good. In toppling Mugabe and Saddam Hussein, we thought we were helping these people build their countries from the ground up. But what really happened was rise of extremism in the Middle East. And I feel this way about Ukraine.
I think you're absolutely right there. I think that adventuring over into foreign countries and starting wars to topple empires and such for the sake of like raising democracy around the world has been an unmitigated disaster.
I think you're 80% correct, the commenter there. Sorry, I forget your name. But so Christopher Hitchens put this very well, I thought. So the framing of the world during the Cold War is, you know, American Western democracy, capitalism, blah, 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 blah. This is good for the world. Mm-hmm. Soviets lose, and therefore, well, we've won, so we should spread this to the world. And because it's obviously
The rhetoric derives further back than that.
Sure, but it just as a start.
I mean, you can trace it back to Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, but I want to start somewhere recent. So just you have that aspect. Shoves off in the East, does, you know, wonderful things in the East. You know, has some other things as well, but, you know, ultimately, obviously good for the East. And I remember Christopher Hitchens arguing that there should be intervention in Iraq on that basis. And people were saying, well, hang on a minute. The Islamic world is not just Eastern Europeans. Like, there are levels of cultural difference here because of the religious totalitarianism that you ain't ever going to get over by just being like, yeah, democracy. And Christopher's response was that, oh, this is an argument people made about communists and Eastern Europeans. They wouldn't be able to do it because they're Orthodox or whatever. It's like, nah, buddy, there really is a difference here.
It is a big difference. And I would have thought that Christopher Hitchens, of all people, would be the one to recognize that difference. But his whole support of the Iraq war was why he became so popular with like right-wing war hawks, wasn't it?
Sure, but the reason for that, at least, I'm not an expert on his biography, but he had a substantial number of friends in Iraq who were anti-Saddam. And I think he was completely blinded by that aspect.
Oh, okay. He just assumed that, oh, this represents the common man on the ground when it didn't.
And or they will be able to reform society into doing something great. And it's like, yeah, that's, you know, some good ideas, but Allahu Akbar, boy. Mm. And he learned that one the hard way before he died. But let's go to the next one.
Ba-bum, bum, ba-bum.
Very good way to get around copyright. Okay, I like the sign.
I need to visit that in person. If you can invite me over, I'd much appreciate it, because I just want to have a go in the big mech suit.
Let's go to the next one.
You know, I'm going to look at the bright side of the stuff from the World Economic Forum that have been on the podcast. The World Economic Forum is just meme magic starting to look like Shadaloo from the Street Fighter series. M. Bison in Street Fighter wants to use Shadaloo to basically economically terrorize everyone into going green energy so they're easier to enslave and kill and keep as slaves. Green energy is evil in Street Fighter, so and it's a bit of a weird coincidence.
If I had more knowledge of Street Fighter, I might have been able to follow that a bit better. Sorry, Harry.
I got nothing for that, but it is good to have the WEF in public, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Shine a light on it.
Hey, Lotus Eaters. I thought you would appreciate a video of the bus while it's on the move. It's nice and comfortable in here. able to stretch our legs. We've got video games and the PlayStation going. And a fantastic panoramic view as we drive of the great nothingness that is Southern Alberta.
That is absolute gold, and every day you show these, I feel more and more bad for doubting you. This would be a great idea.
I am so jealous of that American sort of tradition. I don't know if it's a tradition or not, but I've seen it in like the Meet the Parents films and such. When they go on those road trips in the RVs, that just looks amazing to me. That looks wonderful.
Yeah. Let's go to the next one.
The Golden Boy, the Primarchs. Everybody loved Sanguinius. You'll often see him wading into a fight between his brothers to defuse it with his just charm and good nature. And of course he's like this so that his death at the hands of Horus is even more tragic, and it's why their father came to the conclusion that Horus was irredeemable. Of course his death sent out a psychic shockwave to his sons, which caused them all to suffer the Red Thirst and the Black Rage. The first being making them vampires, and the latter actually making them think they are Sanguinius during his final battle, and that everyone they meet is Horus.
All right, I do enjoy the Primarch lore. That's another depresso. Let's go to the written comments on the site. So, on Callum's Black Pill, General Hyping says, "It's been intriguing watching the mainstream media constantly skirting around the issue of race of those vile perpetrators. Normally, they'd be chomping at the bit to lay the race card on the table. The police in this country have so much to answer for. It's genuinely grim." Yeah, it is very, very bad. Shaker Silver says, "The fact that every Tory leadership candidate isn't banging on about this grooming and the mysterious cause at the heart of it is pathetic. The public needs to bully them into acknowledging this glaring problem once and for all." So I was thinking about saying something like that, and I thought, fair enough, it is actually, like, this has been released today. So I was going to say something about, you know, people who aren't covering this and instead focusing entirely on, like, ooh, leadership election. But it's first day, it's released. If they don't address this within the leadership election, I think that's fair game. And I think anyone who goes to any of the events in which they're speaking should ask it as a question, film it, and put it on the internet.
Make sure you get them to squirm.
Well, I just want to see them give them the right answer. If they fail to give the right answer, we know who they are. So that's a fair test. So on tax fraud, not on tax fraud, someone called tax fraud. Hello, IRS. Saying, "Talking to globalists about grooming gangs feels like talking to a communist about the Holodomor and Mao's famine. They're so consumed by ideology that they refuse to admit that it even exists, even when the evidence is in their face. Even if they do begrudgingly admit it, they simply don't care." Yeah, 100%. I mean, it really does come across like some kind of war crime that the ideology has put upon us, in the same way that the Holodomor's a de facto aspect of communism, or Mao's Great Famine an aspect of communism. And no one wants to talk about it who is, you know, a neo-lib or part of the internationalists, because, well, it's just demonstrable. Your ideology causes mass rape because you thought importing people from all over the world would have no consequences except more kinds of curry. Like, you're an idiot. Like, what would you think was going to happen? Everyone warned you about it, and for years it's been going on, and for years more we're going to have to suffer it because we don't have control of our country, it seems. Yeah. Anyway. But I'll just end on Omar Awad says, "We don't have a grooming problem in the UK. We have a failure to prosecute problem. If the system were working as intended, there wouldn't be an outrage. There would be the occasional sad story to get upset over, but nobody would be blaming communities or nationalities for it." That's true. I mean, fundamentally, the aspect is the police not doing their job, and then, well, the immigration enforcement not doing their job as well, which is, okay, well, I'll stop importing people from, you know, an aspect who believe this. And, yeah. You could solve it. Instead, it could be something like every other crime in the UK, a sad aspect that we have to live with because we're all human. Instead, it's just a constant barrage.
Before we get on to my comments, I just want to point out that Nicholas Valentine suggests that where we can send leftists if we're going to deport them, well, we can send them to the one place that has not yet been corrupted by capitalism.
Spies! Thanks for the cheer up.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that one out there. So on Uvaldi, I don't know exactly how it's supposed to be pronounced, so I apologize for mispronouncing it the whole time. Adrian of the Fountain says, "It's very telling that despite Uvaldi being a failure on policing policy and politics, the gun control goblins show up for their virtue signaling. How is having less means to defend yourself the right approach when you're slamming the police for failing at their duty?" This is the core contradiction of gun control that I always do not understand, is that if you get massively restrictive gun control, then you're leaving all the guns in the hands of the police while you're at the same time complaining about police brutality for shooting unarmed citizens.
I saw leftists.
I don't get it.
Like, leftists were doing that. I mean, it's not in person, it's obviously online, but they're just like, oh my God, look at this footage of the state not protecting you in your darkest hour. You know what this means? We shouldn't have guns either.
Genius.
Biggest of brains.
Ignacio Junquera says, Uvalde's police is the one that the elites want every Western police to be. Useless, scared, and a subservient drone to higher powers, only acting when that big man tells them to. That's why every Westerner must lobby for gun rights and the right to self-defense. Absolutely, I think your right to property, that being the right to a gun, is inalienable. I think that comes with being human being, as is the right to self-defense. So argue against the stripping away of and restriction of your rights, because this is why we're getting heroes, I would say, in the public and media emasculated everywhere we look, because we don't want heroes anymore. The public don't need heroes, according to the globalist elites. What we need is role models, people who will lay back and take it from the big man, because that's apparently now the virtuous thing to do. Anyway, let's answer a few on your last segment just before we're done.
General Hyping again says, good to see you round things off with some lovely unfiltered retardation. So it's not all black pills today. Cheers, chaps. I suppose that's a message to end on. Cheers, chaps.
Yes. Yeah. Tomorrow there will hopefully be a white pill as well, so it won't be all doom and gloom tomorrow either.
But otherwise, we will be back tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.